to start recording the call. And just give me 1 second. Okay, great. All right, gang. So we are set. We're going here. We are officially started. Good morning, everybody. So welcome to the Power Hour with Daryl Davis. But it sounds like such a radio station. I am Daryl Davis, and I'm very excited to be here with you. You know, the purpose of these calls once a month is for us to, you know, stop working on our business or work in our business, stop working in our business, work on it, kind of look at what do we need to do the next 30 days. That's one of the purposes. The other purpose is, you know, every month you get a magazine, a digital magazine on the website that you can just get a plethora of information. And sometimes if I have the time, I will go over that magazine. The third thing, I'm not sure, it's possible that you might be hearing the beeps of people calling in, and I'm going to see if we can turn that off, and if not, just give me 1 second, which I think we just did. Let's see, back to my event. Sorry, gang, 1 second. I apologize. I just did something, and I need to get back to it. Dashboard. Okay, conference recording. Okay, sorry, gang. Yeah, we are using a new software, a new phone number, and it's really awesome, but it has too many features. Okay, so I'm back with you. During this call, the third thing we're going to do, so I said the first thing is to give you a plan and discuss what you need to do the next 30 days. Second thing is to go over the magazine with you that's on the website. And the third thing is, which to me is the most important, which I like to focus on, is to use some one-on-one coaching. What always amazes me, though, is that people get really shy. They don't participate. They don't, you know, ask me questions. They rather just sit and listen. I promise you that, and one of the reasons why that is because people are afraid they're going to ask something stupid or that only they would be interested in it, no one else would be interested in it. And that's really not true. Usually whatever challenge or question that you have, somebody else has on the call. Plus, I like to think that I have a fairly good talent where I can take your specific question and make it generic in such a way that everybody will get value out of that question. So, but I need the questions, though. So in just a minute, I'm going to ask you, does anybody have any challenges or something that you want to ask me for us to work on? So before we do that, well, let's just actually, oh, yes, one last thing is, before we do that, is the Power Program, the website, thepowerprogram.com, on that website is where there's a lot of great stuff for you. That's where the magazine is that we're going to talk about, and it's right on the homepage. Now, the only way you'll see that magazine is if you've logged in to the Power Program. So you will need your username and password to log into the site. If for some reason you lost it, you couldn't get it, there's two things I'll tell you. Number one is sometimes the email goes to your spam folder, so check that and search my name or search Power. The second thing is you can call my office or send us a message, but it won't happen during this call. So after this call, you can deal with that and get into the site. All right. Now, with that said, let's get this party started. So who has a question? What challenge are you dealing with right now? Something that you'd like me to help you work on? And how you can unmute yourself so I can hear you, because right now everybody's muted. You'll hit *7 on your keypad one time. Give it about 15 seconds for it to actually kick in, and then I'll be able to hear you. So right now, somebody hit *7 on your keypad. Ask me something that you want to ask me. Go ahead.
All right. This is Tanisha from Talking with Jimmy.
Hi, Tanisha. How are you?
Hi, Daryl. I'm well. I'm excited because this is my first call, but I wanted to ask. I have clients that I'm dealing with right now, and they seem to, well, the husband has this fear of, you know, sticking to a house that they found a house that they love this weekend, and he's scared to actually put in an offer. Should I bring up the interest rates possibly go up, or is that just kind of a scare tactic and I shouldn't go that route?
Well, Tanya, it's Tanya, right?
Tanisha.
I'm sorry, Tanisha. I apologize for that. Tanisha, hang on 1 second. So Here's what I would say, Tanisha, is that, by the way, Tanisha, do you have me on a speakerphone? Or I know somebody else unmuted themselves.
Yes, I did.
And I'm gonna.
Sorry.
Yeah, do me a favor. I'm gonna mute you right now. Hang on. And Tanisha, there you are. Are you still there?
I am.
Yeah, somebody else just unmuted themselves, and I just muted you. So whoever that was, unmute yourself when I'm done with Tanisha, okay, because there was a lot of noise there. Okay, so Tanisha, and by the way, this is a great question that everybody can get value from, is that what do you do when you've got a buyer that likes this property, but they're really afraid to put an offer in and pull the trigger? Tanisha, is this their first home?
Yes.
Okay, because that's what's common with first-time buyers, right?
Right.
And, yeah, so here's what you need to tell them. You need to get, you're going to do some psychology coaching for them, okay? So there's a couple of things. First of all, how many times have they seen the house?
Twice.
Okay. So here's what I would do. When was the last time they saw it?
Saturday.
Okay. So, Tanisha, here's what I would do is, I might consider now, you know, I wasn't there in the trenches with you, so I don't know exactly if this will be appropriate part of what I'm going to say. But one of the things that I would do is, you know what, no, let's do it this way. Because they've seen it twice on Saturday. What I would do is have them come in the office to have a conversation with them about buying not just this house, but about buying a house, period, okay? And what I would do is, I would meet him into the office, sit him down, and I have saved more deals this way and put more deals together with what I'm about to tell you. And that is, I would say, if let's say, Tanisha, you were the buyer, I would say, Tanisha, I totally understand about you know, questioning whether you want to purchase this, and I can tell that there's a sense of fear, you know, because when you buy a home, there is a certain responsibility. You know, there is a mortgage payment. There's taking care of a home. You know, the thing about renting is there isn't really responsibility too much there, just paying the rent. But it's not your property to take care of. You can leave any time. You can stop the payment. So, yes, there is that concept of you're making a commitment. For you, Mr. Seller, it might even feel like you're taking a second marriage. But let me tell you something. The difference between the people that own a home and the people that are still renting is the people that own a home, they had the same fear you have, but the fear didn't have them. Here's what I can promise you. Here's what I can promise you, Tanisha, the buyer, is that if you let this fear control you from becoming a homeowner and you don't buy this house, this fear is going to come up on the next house and the next house and the next house. This will never not feel the way it feels right now. So, and it's okay to feel this because most first-time buyers go through this. So my advice is if you want to get into home ownership, and this you may even find that there's certain things that's not perfect about this house, but what's important is that you get in the game of real estate. Right now, you're not even in the game. Once you get in, and now you've got a property that's appreciating in value, now you've got money coming back to you on your mortgage payments because that comes back to you in tax benefits. And a few years go down the road, you now have put in money that's yours. I'm assuming, Tanisha, they're still renting, yeah?
Yes.
You know, so Tanisha, if you were the buyer, how much rent are they paying?
The rent is $750 that they're paying now, and their mortgage would be about, we spoke to the lender, and the mortgage would be about $680. So they would save, that's with PITI in it.
Got it. Okay. So clearly this is a fear issue, right?
Right.
So because, you know, when you look at the numbers, you know, it even makes more sense. So, but I still would say this. I would say to the husband, you know, let me ask you a question. If I asked you to give me, you know, almost $9,000 now, and I took that $9,000, I kept that $9,000, and I didn't give it back to you, would you be okay with that?
No,
No. Okay. Now let's say you gave me that $9,000, and I didn't give it back to you, and I actually put that money into an investment where I got back even interest on top of your money. So you're actually investing in something, but and I'm getting the benefits from it. You're not. Would that upset you even more?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guess what? That's what you're doing for your landlord.
Oh, that's good.
You're giving him $9,000 a year, and here's what's happening. He's reducing his mortgage by $9,000 a year. You are paying for his mortgage. You are paying for his property. You are making him rich. Now, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I would rather be giving myself that $9,000 a year. And that's how you have to look at this, Mr. Buyer. You're not spending $680 a month. You're actually spending zero. Why? You're taking $680, you're putting it into the bank. It's called a house. Because when it comes time to sell your house, all of those payments you're getting, you're putting in, plus the appreciation of the property, plus the reduction of the mortgage, you're actually putting, this is like a forced savings bank account for you. So why don't you be your own landlord? Pay the $680 to yourself. This is why wealthy people. And then, Tanisha, what I want you to do, Tanisha, if you go to Classroom on the website, on the Power Program website, don't do it now, Tanisha. But when you log into the Power Program and you click on Classroom, you're going to see it says Visuals for Buyers. So it's alphabetical. So you go down to V, Visuals for Buyers. You're going to see the second bullet under Visuals for Buyers. Who says it's a good time to buy now? And there's two really great visuals. One is Donald Trump, who's saying, you know, when people come up to me and they ask me what I should do, I tell them, buy a house. So here's the guy who made money in commercial real estate, and he's saying, go buy residential. The second slide is Warren Buffett, who made his billions in the stock market, and his slide says, you know what, real estate is long-term is a better investment than even stocks. And this is a guy that has had at least a dozen books written about how he buys stocks. He is the stock guru, and he's saying real estate is better than the stock market. So if you want to be wealthy, Mr. Buyer, if you want to stop making somebody else rich, if you, and by the way, one other thing, do they have children, Tanisha?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, Tanisha, listen to me. In this month's magazine, once again, after you log on to the website and you open up the magazine, the page number 30, so make a note of what I'm saying. Page number 30, okay, it shows, according to studies that were done, at Harvard University, University of Texas, Chicago, Duke University, American Psychologists Association, even Fannie Mae, here's what they found. Children who live in a house that's owned by the parents score 9% higher on their math scores than renters' children. Their reading achievement score, well, I ain't done, baby. Reading is 7% higher. The high school graduation rate is 25% higher for children whose parents own a home versus rent. They are 116% more likely to graduate from college, and they have less behavioral problems. Now, the reason why, and so this is page 30 for you, and you can just print it out and show it. I had it designed pretty so you can actually use this in front of a buyer, and you point out to them the reason why this is true is because the children see the responsibility of a parent who owns a home. See, a parent who owns a home is just more responsible. You know, they're taking care of their property. The child feels more secure. It's now not a house. It's now not a rental. This is my home. You're not buying a house. You're buying a home for your children to create memories. There's a sense of security that a child has. They know that they're in a rental situation. So, listen, it's okay to have fear. Don't let fear have you. I can promise you this. If you don't buy this house, you're going to feel the same exact way on the next house and the next house. And you know what's going to happen? Every time you do it, you're just going to keep renting and making somebody else rich. So here's what I suggest. Have this fear and buy the house anyway. Don't think it's going to go away. It is not going to go away. Just jump in. Okay, here's what happens. You jump in the cold pool. It's scary. It's uncomfortable. It's chilly. But what happens to your body? You get comfortable with the water in the pool. You will get comfortable. Once you move in this far, but you're there a couple of months, here's what you're going to do. You're going to call me up and say, Robin, I should have listened to you sooner. I'm saving money. I'm paying less, 50, 70 bucks a month less a month. What would an extra $800 a year do for you? I mean, can you put that towards your kid's college? Anyway, did I help you here, Tanisha?
That helped a lot. Thank you so much.
Now, Tanisha, here's what we did, right? I threw a lot at you. I know I did, and that was a great question. And I know everybody got value from that. We're recording this call because I know this is your first call, first conference call. So what's going to happen is I record the call and I'll post it on the website. So everything you just heard me do, you can listen to it over and over again or make notes if you missed something that I said, okay?
Okay.
All right, Tanisha. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, I just muted Tanisha. Now, I had my other power agent who I'm unmuting you. Who was that I muted a moment ago?
Hi, this is Rob Schwitz in St. Louis.
Hey, what's your name, Roger?
Rob, R-O-B.
I'm sorry about that, Rob. Okay, what was your question? How you doing, Rob?
So my question is, I'm getting ready to switch brokerages probably this week. And I just wondered, I'm not unhappy with the other one. It's just a good time to do the move. And I just wondered, what would you recommend is the best way for me to kind of get in the groove so I don't, I don't have that downtime, startup time. I'm an experienced agent, but I know that that'll cause a little bit of a hiccup there in the business.
Yeah, so first of all, did you tell your old broker you're making the move?
Yeah. And he knows
okay,
it's not against him. Or I'm going to be actually moving to an entirely different state with the company that I'm going to affiliate with here locally. So that will help the move because it's national brokerage, and then you just put in a different, zip code, and you're kind of in business the minute you get there. So
cool. Well, here's a couple of things. You're right. Number one is the question is. How do you make this transition a smooth one, yeah?
You're right. How do I make it as smooth, little income interruption as possible?
Okay. So, and this question applies to everybody, too, that needs to reinvent their business. So everybody, even though Rob is physically moving, sometimes we got to, start over. We got to recommit. And so here's what I would say, Rob. For you, first of all, I would probably say, let me ask you, actually, do you know the market? Do you know the prices, all that stuff, or no? You have to learn that, too.
Well, I'm moving within my local area that I've been in for 20 years, but then I'm going to be going from St. Louis to California. I've already just passed the broker's test. Everything is done, but I'm going to go with, a national company here, and I just thought, it's going to be an easier transition. I know the other office manager where I'm going and the area is good. So, I mean, it's a good fit for me, but it's always that downtime. You get new cars, you have a new site, you do all this. What can I kind of be doing to not get distracted by all those other details and to, just kind of keep my funnel going and make this as smooth as I can.
All right. So, here's one other thing that there is the logistics of what you have to do, and so I'll give you two suggestions on how to do this so you don't get distracted by the next thing I'm going to say. Number one is you could schedule these types of tasks at certain dates and certain times, meaning that if you say, Monday from 9 to 10 or 9 to 11, and Wednesday, same time, I'll deal with checking on cards and, ordering lists and all that stuff. Now, if something comes up Tuesday about that, don't deal with it. You'll deal with it on Wednesday at the same time.
Right.
So keep a schedule of making the transition and be strict about it. That's one option. Number two is if you can find somebody that you're willing to pay, you know, a couple hundred bucks. It might even be an agent in the office that, you know, is not financially doing well. They would welcome a couple hundred dollars. And you create a to-do list for them. And you say, all right, here's all the stuff that I need help with. And, you know, if you can just deal with that so I don't have to deal with it, and I'll throw you whatever money that you want to throw them based on how big the list is.
Right. Okay.
The third, yeah, so that way you're helping somebody else, too, that needs some money, and then you can, you know, they can worry about it so you're not worrying about it.
Okay.
The third thing, and most importantly, is now, I don't know if you've heard me do the shoe store analogy. Have you heard me do that?
Yeah, oh, yes. I was at one of your seminars a couple of months ago.
Okay. So, yeah, so that's what you got to do is you just got to focus on listings and not work with buyers at all.
Right.
Yeah. So what I would be spending every waking moment is, you know, hitting the phones every day, FSBOs and expireds, and getting those appointments so that way you get your shoe store up and running as quickly as possible. You know, when you're making a transition.
Use the Red X.
Yeah, use the Red X. Now, I will tell you, how long have you been using Red X?
Well, just since your seminar, I signed up like the next day or two after that.
And how long ago? I'm sorry, I don't remember, Rob.
That's okay.
It's been
like a month and a half, almost 2 months ago, I think.
All right. I want you to take a look. And how has that been going for you?
Well, to be really honest, I was making a vacation trip out to where I'm probably going to move next year. And so I have had some interruptions. It hasn't been as consistent as it needs to be. And actually, I'm taking my flight back home in about an hour or two, but I wanted to get on the call beforehand.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your commitment to this program and doing that. All right. So here's what I would say, Rob, is when you're ready, and it sounds like maybe you're not, they also have this thing called, I forget, it's an auto dialer. It's
the Storm Dialer.
Storm Dialer.
Yeah. I was the one last month who told you they'd do it for 2 weeks free now.
Oh, that was you? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Then. All right, so then you know about that. All right, so then thanks so much for that. All right, so that's what I would do, Rob, is you just got to get your listings, man, and don't be tempted to take a buyer out because you're going to, you know, you think that's going to be a quick sale. I'll tell you what would be as quick of a sale as taking a buyer out and showing property is getting a listing that's priced really well.
Right.
You know, if you get a listing that's priced
really
well. Yeah, if it's a seller's market and you get a listing that's priced well, that would probably sell just as quick as if you took a buyer out and were showing property.
Okay.
So that's what I would do. Focus on building inventory. I would not even take buyers out.
If my buyer calls off the listing, refer those or still work with them?
Yes, that's absolutely what I would do. And that might be painful. You know, if you get a couple listings and you get some up calls, you know, give it to that agent that's helping you to get order business cards and stuff like that. Let them show those buyers around.
Okay.
So you have your own little buyer agent assistant, if you will. Say, listen, I'm looking to work a deal with somebody. I have to do a lot of logistic stuff that I'm not good at. Don't tell them you don't want to do it because then they won't want to do it either. So you're not good at this stuff logistically and you need to get listings. You're going to have buyers calling you, and you don't want to be distracted by that. Would you be interested in just a short period of time that any buyers that I give to you, and I throw you, you know, 200 or 300, whatever number you come up with, to take care of some of this logistics stuff for me? And if you find an agent like that, I think you'd be in really great shape.
Okay. All right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
you're right. Sometimes you're with the same place and you want to reinvent yourself or get out of a rut. That's also going to be a good thing to try.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, Rob, right? And everybody on this call, you know, if you're struggling financially or you have no listings, if you did nothing else but every day, you called FSBOs and expireds, which, by the way, Rob, expireds sell even quicker.
Right.
And if you just did that every day, gang, within 2 weeks, you would probably have 2 or 3 listings.
Okay.
You know, and if you did that in a month, you'd have, you know, 5, 6, 7 listings in 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of money. So that'll actually happen when those listings sell. So anyway, that's my advice for you, Rob, okay?
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, buddy. Thanks again for calling in when you got to catch a flight. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, so I just muted Rob. Who else has a question that you'd like to ask me? Hit *7 on your keypad one time, and that will take you off mute. Just do it one time, *7, and it'll take about 10 seconds. So who needs some help on something? Anybody? Let's see. Come on, don't be shy. This is for you. This is for you. I see Houston. Houston, who's in Houston, Texas?
This is Connie Stuff with Ram. How are you?
Good. How are you? Your phone broke up a little bit. What's your name?
My name is Carlista. I'm with Ram.
Okay. I still didn't hear your name, hon. I think because you're on a cell phone and it's breaking up.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that. Okay, let's see if you can hear my question. This happened to me recently. I went to one of your classes here in Houston, and the day after I called Fisbo that was actually in my neighborhood. So I called him up about 3 times, never got an answer, you know, never got a call back. And a week after, I saw a sign at the door. Somebody got the listing. So I shoot myself. So what did I do wrong, or what could have I done differently?
Well, okay, so... Yeah, that would be – well, first of all, that happens, all right, that you're not going to get all of the listings. So don't ever get too – you know, don't be so hard on yourself. You know, one of the CDs that we sell is the FISBO and Expired Mastery, where I actually call live FISBOs and we recorded the calls. And on that CD, I left on there some of the FISBO appointments that I didn't get, where people actually hung up on me or something. And the reason why I did that is because I wanted everybody who listens to my material understand that you're not going to be 100% perfect 100% of the time. Some you will get, some you won't. So your real estate's a numbers game. You know, if you call a lot of people, everybody has a batting average, like in sports. And by the way, I'm going to help you answer your question in a second. I'm just helping everybody right now. You know, if you, I'm not into sports, but like baseball, the batters have RBIs, and like every time they're a bat, they'll hit the ball so many times. And the same is true about making phone calls to FISBOs. You may be up at bat maybe 6 times. You call 6 FISBOs, and maybe you get 1 appointment. It could be 10, and it could be 3. So you want to increase your odds, but just accept the fact that you're going to swing and miss and strike out sometimes. Now, what happened with this homeowner? So let me help you specifically. This homeowner that you spoke to, did you speak to them when you called them?
No, I actually left several messages, but never got a call back.
Okay, so... You know, that I definitely would beat myself up if you called and you didn't even get a chance to speak to them. It's very possible they could have made the decision to hire a broker and a specific broker before you even called them. So the reason why they didn't call you is because they already mentally were going to go with this agent, and then you saw the for sale sign. Do you understand?
Okay.
So don't take that personal. That's number one. Number two is, do you remember how you actually called them, like what message you left for them?
Sure. I told them my name. I told them the company that I'm with. And I just, I'm one of your neighbors. And I saw that you just put a for sale by owner. And I want to talk to you and see how can I help you with moving your house quick. That was basically
okay.
A simple message. You didn't want to spend much.
All right, so let's look at that voicemail that you left, and I'm going to give you a better one. As a matter of fact, the one that I'm going to give you is my students have used, and they get calls back more times than not. But let me just point out what you did wrong. Can I?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, please.
Is that okay? So first of all, when you said you want you, the reason why you would like to speak to them to see how you can help them sell their house, and you know if they don't see that they need help, they're not going to call for that reason. So they're not going to call you back if they don't think they need help. That's number one. Number two mm-hmm. is you said that you to see how you can help them for a quick sale. Now, when you say to somebody a quick sale, quick means cheap.
Okay.
Usually when
okay.
you sell, yes. So usually when you sell something quickly, it's because you're giving it away, which is one of the fears that homeowners have about selling their house. They don't want to give it away.
Got it.
So using the word quick and help is it wasn't the best choice. Now here's how the message I would leave. And again, I'm recording this so you can listen to the recording after we post it on the website. We're going to post the recording sometime by the end of this week on the Power Program website. So this would be the message. If I call her, ding, I'd say, yeah, hi, this is Daryl from Power Realty. The reason why I was calling is I noticed you're selling your house, and I have some important information about that. I could even possibly have somebody who could be interested, but I just need to get a little bit more information. Can you please call me back at your earliest convenience? My number is blah, 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 blah. Now, there's a couple of things that worked about what I just did. First of all, did you like what I just did? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Here's what worked about it. I did identify myself, which when you're leaving a voicemail, you need to. The second thing is I said that I have some important information. I understand you're selling your house, and I have some important information. I could possibly even have somebody who'd be interested. You know, those things that I said would tease them, entice them to call me because they want to know, well, what's the important information or who is it that you have that could be interested? So that gives them a reason to call me, and I created a sense of urgency. And I also said that I needed to get a little bit more information to see if that's even possible. So our students tell us that they get at least 50% of the message they leave, people actually call them back. Now, the important information that I was referencing, which what's interesting is that people usually don't call up and say, well, what's the important information? They don't do that. They just return the call and that's it. Mm-hmm. But if somebody did ask you, they say, well, what's the important information? Say, well, we have a plan here at Power Realty. It's called the Seller Success System. It's a plan that we have that helps homeowners like yourself to help sell their property. But I'm not sure if that would help you or not. That's why I wanted to talk to you first to get a better picture of what your house is and what your goals are. Like, for example, I saw in the ad that it was a 4-bedroom, 2-bath colonial. And then I would jump right into the questions. You know, I'd start asking, you know, did you do any major improvements to the house? Or how old is it? And, you know, does it have a basement? Is it finished? And those questions that you jump into after they call you is a way for you to also build a relationship and build rapport with them. So that's my thought on that. Okay? Did that help you, hon?
Yes, yes. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you. Love Houston. All right. Next call. Who has a question that you want to ask me? Just hit *7. And hit pound. Yes, no, I'm sorry. Hit *7. Hang on 1 second. We've got something here. *7, and then I'll be able to hear you. So who has a question? You need some one-on-one coaching. Who's on the call? We need some help. Don't be shy. All right. Well, listen, here's what I'm going to do is no one's jumping in. So I have Robin. Oh, I hear somebody. Who is that?
Hi, this is Lisa Steele out in California.
Hey, Lisa, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So what's your question, Lisa?
Well, I have a piece of property. It was a for sale by owner. I got it in the contract,
yeah.
And when we did so, the homeowner had it on the market last year for $519,000. It didn't sell. She reduced the price to $489,000. It still didn't sell. And this year, about a month ago, I put it into contract. And I was able to negotiate it down to about $45,000 less than what she wanted. And now I think we're going to have an appraisal issue. I'm supposed to hear back this morning. So she's a very tough seller, and I was wondering if you have any advice for me.
Oh, well, first of all, you know, I can hear it in your voice, the fact that she's a tough seller. So, yeah, so first of all, don't be afraid of her and keep something in mind. You know, there's this general concept that I'm going to share off of this. There was this guy, when I first got into real estate, when I was 19 years old, I met this guy. He was a multi-millionaire. And he owned property in Hawaii. And I should have listened to this guy because he kept buying property in Hawaii. He says, Daryl, Hawaii is exploding. Now, I'm 19. I didn't have money. But it turned out Hawaii was appreciating. People may not remember this, but the property values were going up 20-25% a year. And they did that for a couple of years in a row. So I remember talking to him, and again, he was a very successful guy, and he said something to me. Now, I'm 50 years old. I was 19, and I'll never forget it. He said, when you owe the bank $100, that's your problem. But when you owe them $1 million, that's their problem. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that. And every time I hear Donald Trump speak or when I think about his dealings, he probably has that same mentality. You know, he probably had buildings he wasn't making payments on, and he was stressed, okay. You know, but he didn't get stressed. The bank's stressed. And that's why he was able to cut so many deals, because the banks are like, well, if we don't cut this deal, then we're really out of luck. So now here's my point, Lisa, is that this homeowner has a $400,000 commitment. This is
no,
her problem.
No, she owns it outright.
She owns it outright? Okay.
Yeah, she owns it outright, and she paid more than what we're in contract for, so I know that's going to be part of the hang-up.
A problem. Oh, okay, all right. Well, I'm sorry that I went into that dissertation that didn't apply to us. Okay. There might still be some truth here about where is she moving to, why is she selling then?
She purchased a property about an hour away from here, and she moved last year, and this property has been sitting vacant for over a year now. excuse me, my thoughts are the appraisal is going to come in at originally what we had offered. So it validates where we originally came in at, but I'm just wondering if you had any pointers as to try and sway her towards the appraised market value.
Yeah, here's how much is it costing her a month to own the property?
Taxes and insurance. I'm not quite sure what her insurance runs every month. Her taxes are probably about a little over $5,000 a year.
Okay, so here's what I would do. First of all, Lisa, you need to get really strong on your numbers, hon.
I'm sorry?
So you have to get really strong on your numbers.
Okay.
So, for example, when I ask you what she's paying monthly and you're not sure on the homeowner's insurance, I got that because you're not paying it. She is. The taxes, you think it's about $5,000. Here's what you, because if she's a tough lady and if she's a smart lady, you have to go more informed and educated than she, all right? Because if she thinks you're wimpy and not strong, that's not going to help you in this conversation. Is that making sense so far?
Correct, yeah.
All right. So what I want you to do is I want you to check the tax record before you you have this conversation with her. I want you to know exactly what her taxes are. And I want you to get it down. I want you to get it down to the penny. That
okay.
You doing that will make you stronger with her, and she'll know you did your homework. Now, if this property, and you have to do the math, and I'm not going to spend the time to do the math with you right now. I'm going to give you an example, and then you've got to figure it out. Gang, what I'm sharing is real valuable for everybody here, so I hope you're paying attention. If let's say, well, I do need the numbers. How much is this house going to – I'm not asking how much you sold it for. I'm asking how much is that house going to appraise at, that original number?
If I had the guess, I'd say between 425 and 430.
Okay. So let's say it comes in at 425, and you tell her, listen, if you don't accept the 425, let's look at the rationale here. How much is the property values going up in her market in a year? And if you're not sure of these numbers, I want you to give me a ballpark, Lisa, But when you get off this phone, I want you to hit the MLS. I want you to look at that area. What were the sales last year? What was the sales this year? That'll give you your percentage. And don't round off the percentage. If you discover it's got, you know, it's, you know, 2.32, I want you to use 2.32, okay?
Okay.
So, and then you're going to take 2.32 and divide it by 12 months. But give me a rough idea. I just made up 2.32.
Well,
what is your annual,
you know,
appreciation?
In that neighborhood, I'd have to run it. I don't know off the top of my head, to be real honest with you. It's a very
That's
eclectic
fine. Thanks
neighborhood.
For, okay.
Yeah, it's a very
Thank
eclectic
you for
neighborhood.
Being
There's the comps are anywhere in the 300s to 700s. So hers happens
okay,
to be
so,
a fixer.
All right, let me show you how to do this then. So, and I'm glad that you don't know your numbers and you didn't want, you know, just make something up. So let's pretend, though. Let's pretend that it's 10% a year.
Okay.
Okay. And don't round off the numbers. 10.32. 10%. So that means that this house is worth $425,000 today. In 12 months, it'll be worth 10% more. So what's 10% of $425,000? Well, it's very easy. Yes, it's $4,250. So now, do you have a calculator there, sweetie?
Yes.
I would like you to take that number, divide it by 12.
354.
What was it, 3,400?
You said to take 4,250 divided by 12?
42,000. So here's what we did. 10% of 400. Yeah, maybe you did it a little wrong in the beginning. $425,000. 10% of that is $42,500. So we take $42,500 divided by 12 months. What's that number?
$3,541.66.
Good, and I love how you didn't round it off. Keep doing that. Okay, so now let's take a look at $3,500. I'm rounding it off to do it fast. It's costing $5,000 in taxes a month. The property would only go up $3,500 a month. So if she doesn't sell this friggin' house, she's going to continue to lose $1,500 each and every month. Not to mention the fact that it is proven that when a house is vacant, it deteriorates quicker. There's
right.
Houses are built to live in, and so when they're not being lived in, there's more cobwebs, there's more insects, there's more this, and there's more mold, and there's more mildew, and there's more that. So then there's going to be a maintenance drain on this property. So listen, I hate to bring you bad news. This is not me. This is the market. This is the reality. This is what we're dealing with. So you have a choice. You can take the house off the market, don't sell it now, and wait till the market improves. So that way that $470,000 that you're so adamant of getting, you'll eventually get that probably in about, you'll get that additional, well, follow my math. If she says she wants 475, it's 425. That's 50 grand, right? So probably in about a year, a little less than a year, she'll get the 50 grand. So she'll take it off the market and sell it for 50 grand more. The problem is it's going to cost you $75,000 in payments to get $50,000 back. In other words, you've got a sinking asset here, and the best thing for you to do is to sell it yesterday.
Right.
Did that all make sense, Lisa?
Absolutely, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, the last thing is, Lisa, if your appreciation in your market is more than 10%, which I bet you it's not, like if the numbers come out where she's actually making money to not sell it at this number, that's going to be a tougher conversation for you. But you've got to be honest with her. So you need to show her, listen, I'll be honest with you. I ran the numbers. And if you don't accept this offer, you may actually make out in a year from now. My only concern is that's only if, number one, the appreciation continues. Number two is it's not including maintenance. Number three is I don't know what your mortgage, your insurance is. So there's another number to consider. you've already tested the market and the price has come down several times to get to this number. So, you know, if you take it off, put it back at a higher number, the realtors are going to be like, oh, it's that house again. And when a house gets a reputation like, oh, it's that house again, they actually stay away from it because it has a history of being bad luck, that it's been on the market for years, it's not selling, it's a white elephant. So a bird in the hand, right now, here's what we know. Your house is sold. And here's another question I have for you, Mr. and Mrs. Hanana. I know the number is less than what we contracted. The appraisal came in. But let me ask you this. Would you buy your house back for $425 right now? And the reason why I'm asking that question is because right now your house is definitely sold. And if you cancel this contract, you actually just bought your house back again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay. Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. You're so welcome, Lisa. All right. So, Lisa, I'm going to put you back on mute. And everybody else, here's what we're going to do. We've got 10 minutes remaining in the call. There's a couple of things I want to go over the magazine. And there was somebody else that emailed me questions ahead of time. Those are the best way to do it. Her name's Robin. Robin, are you on the call from Music Row Realty? If you are, hit *7 one time, and I will unmute, and you'll unmute yourself. If not, I'm going to still answer it. Are you on the call, Robin? Okay, she's not on the call. Gang, here's what we're going to do is I'm going to answer her questions. I'm going to read it first. And two of them are really quick. She's got three. Number one, Robin asks, when calling leads from Red X, I came across somebody who said they're an owner and an agent. Should I skip those? The answer could be yes. It doesn't hurt for you to call it if they are an agent. They're advertising. I think that's great that they let the public know that's what they're supposed to do. I would ask them what company they're with. See if you can help them as a colleague. You might discover that they're an agent in another state or out of the area. And maybe you can cut a deal with them that you can help service the listing for them and do the open houses and promote it and put it on MLS for them. And you'll give them a percentage back. So I think that's something I would consider. So I would definitely I retract what I said, not calling them. I think why not call them? It's got nothing to lose. Also, what is your advice calling builders with withdrawn listings? If a builder withdrew a listing, there's a good chance that he's afraid or she's afraid that the property is going to become a white elephant because it's not selling. And so what I would do is I would tell them, listen, give me that as an audition piece. You know, you try doing it on your own. And there's another question I would need to know, Robin, if they were listed with another agency. I think any time a listing expires or is withdrawn, I think it doesn't hurt to make the call and find out some information. Why did they withdraw? Did they decide not to sell it anymore? Were they not happy with the agent? And I would try and audition for the work. You know, I would call them and say, well, would you be offended if I came over, sit down and talk to you and see how I can help you? I will say for everybody on the call to get value out of that question is that when you're talking to builders or you're talking to investors, you're talking to people that are more logical, then you need to talk more logical. You need to use numbers, averages, percentages, increase. You need to think of yourself as a financial planner specific on real estate because that's how they're looking at it. You know, when I was role-playing with Lisa, I'm going to bet that this woman there, because Lisa said she's a tough noogie, you know, maybe common sense numbers would work with her. Some people, it's emotional. When Tanisha and I were talking with the buyers, that was definitely emotional. So when you have to decide on the listing side, is that person being still emotional? I don't trust realtors. I can do this myself. I can do it better myself. Or are they logical? Again, builders and investors, usually you want to coach them on working with you using logic. Here's the last question from Robin. It's kind of a long one, but I'll run through it here. I called a FSBO, and I think I painted myself in a corner. I need a strategy. When I asked the FSBO why she was selling, she said that she had several rental properties. She had a price pretty high. She had a certain price she wanted, and if she couldn't get it, she would just rent it out again. So she seems unmotivated to sell. I don't know if that's true. And the only reason why she was testing the waters was to see if she could take advantage of a hot seller's market they were in. When I asked if I could see the house, she said that there would be someone over there on Sunday, and he would let me in. So I went, I previewed, but did not get to meet her. She was suffering from a torn ACL and was not going to go to meet me. Should I just say next and keep honing my skills with making the calls, or something that you might have to salvage this one? Yeah. So, Robin, here's what I would do is I would still follow up. She might be distracted because of the torn ACL. She has seven properties. You went over, you saw it. I think you should definitely follow up, keep following up, telling her, I saw the property. I have some thoughts I'd like to discuss with you. I like to do it in person. If you have to do it over the phone because she's bedridden, then, you know, that's how you'll have to do it. But same thing. This is an investor. I would talk numbers. I would talk money. I would want to find out, why are they even selling? Is it just to cash out? Okay. Well, let's look at the math. You know, here's what the property is probably worth. What is your rent roll? What's your liability? If you took that money, could you buy something else? Would you buy another property that would actually, because property values are still low, that maybe you can take that money, you could sell it? I mean, that's a strategy what some investors do. If they've got good equity in a property, watch this. Let's say you've got a $200,000 property and there's, you know, $50,000 mortgage. I'm just making up numbers to give an example. Well, if property values are going up, that if they took that property, sold it, cashed out, they took the $150,000 equity, they may be able to buy two properties, even three, with that equity that's sitting dormant in that $200,000 property. So property values are going up. They're going to actually watch what happens. If you own a $200,000 property and property values are going up ten percent, that would be $20,000 on the one house. But if the equity's there, they cash out, they take that $175,000. That gives them the ability, let's say, to buy two properties at $200,000. Now their total properties that they have is $400,000. 10% on $400,000 is $40,000. So that's the type of conversation. But, again, I'm making these numbers up. That's an example. You need to call and talk to this investor to get clear about what their situation is, not just with this one property, all their properties. And what they're committed to, what their goals are, when they want to retire, what are their plans, and look at the whole big picture and see how you can propose something that might actually get them motivated. Okay, so that's it for Robin. Now, the last thing I'm going to say here, gang, is the magazine this month. I'm going to point out a couple of things because we just have 5 minutes left. One of the things that we did this month, and this is for the new power agents on the call, is every month, we interview a top agent, and we post it on the website. This month what we did is because we have people who are asking, we're asking for this. I do, some of you have seen me do my three-hour seminar. Some of you have received a CD when you've come to that free seminar. Usually it's in a red little paper thing, and it's about an hour. And that's a summary of my three-hour seminar. Anyway, people kept saying to me, boy, I wish we can have that transcribed. So this month's magazine, you know, at the beginning from pages 1 to 28 is a transcription of me doing a live seminar, How to Become a Power Agent Real Estate. So that's what we did this month. The next thing I want to point out to you is on page 29 in the magazine, there's something about a Christmas scene coloring contest. You know, we're going to be going into Christmas now and the other holidays. And what some agents have done is have like a, for their farm area, is do like a Christmas a coloring contest for kids. So that's on page 29. Check it out because you're going to run out of time if you want to do that. Page 30 is the dream of home ownership. Some really great statistics that I talked about with Tanisha at the beginning of the call. And let me see. There's a lot of stuff. This magazine, this month, is 60 pages. I'm not going to go through it all, but I'm just pointing out some of the important ones. Make notes to this. Any of you that are looking, and Rob, you asked a similar question on page, if Rob, you were going to hire somebody to help you in this transition and they become like a temporary agent with you, like on your team, on page 37, 38, 39, there is an employment agreement when you hire an agent to work with you on your business. And so that's pretty cool. So that I gave you. There's also a sample listing appointment. Now, there's this one guy here. This is really good. Hang in there with me. Wait, let me take a minute. Let me see if there's anything else in this magazine I want to tag. I got something good to share with you. Ah, there's some really good stuff in here. There's, on page 54, why is now the best time to buy? This is on page 54, 55. There's six reasons why there's a good time to buy real estate right now. Interest rates are at a low. They could go up. Builders are eager to sell. Sellers are motivated this time of year. Page 56, why it's the best time to buy a home during the holidays. And there's a lot of good stuff. And, page 58, Lisa, there is, I forgot to add this in here. Hey, how the homeowner can help with an appraisal. Now, she's already had the appraisal, so this can't help you, but page 58, there's a great checklist. All right, here's the last thing. Boy, there's a lot of good stuff here. Here's the last thing I want to say. On page 45, there is a guy that says what he does, he has a menu of services where he charges different percentages based on the things that you do. I'm not too a fan of this because one of his options is he says, hey, if you find the buyer, you call and tell me, and there's 0% charge on a commission. I think that's silly. I wouldn't do that. But here's what I would do, and just hang in there with me 2 minutes. If let's say you go on a listing appointment, a homeowner is not going to list with you because they still want to try and do it on their own, here's what you can say to them. Mr. and Mrs. Hanana, here's what I'll do for you. You know, at the commission that I'm asking, half of it would go out to the MLS. And to the MLS, that means another broker brings a buyer and they get paid for bringing the buyer. Well, here's what I'd like to do for you. I'm going to give you the best of both worlds. If let's say you still want to try and sell this on your own, hire me at the commission that we agreed to. I put it on MLS. I do everything I talked about tonight. But if you find your own buyer, what I will do is I will give you 50% back to that commission, which is what I would do if another agency sold it. But at least here, I will take your buyer, and I will service it like it's mine. I will make sure they've got a pre-commitment letter, that they're qualified. So before we go to contract, all our ducks in a row. Yes, I'm doing double work, but that's all right. That'll be a win-win for us. I'm still getting paid for some of my efforts. You still have the option to sell it on your own. We still have it at MLS, and the other agent's working for it. So now this is a total win-win. Now, gang, a couple of things about this before I let you go. Number one is don't freak out about that. I'm not cutting my commission to 50%. I'm treating the homeowner just like I would an agent on MLS. Number two, people say, oh, that's against the law. That's a kickback. No, it's not at all. This is the homeowner whose name's on the deed, and you're really not giving back half percent. You're just reducing it by 50% if they find the buyer. Lastly, or two things, is that the agreement with the homeowner, though, has to be that if they do advertise it, they have to advertise at the same price as MLS, so it doesn't create confusion. And number two is they can't have a FSBO sign on the property because if an agent shows up through MLS, it's going to confuse them and it's bad marketing. What I've noticed is that whenever I offer that to a homeowner, they usually do that just because they want control. But once they sign the listing agreement, I start working, they don't advertise and they just sit back and let me do all the work. I wouldn't do that with every listing, gang. I would only do that when you're leaving the house without the listing. At this point, you've got nothing to lose, and it's an option to get them back and to listen to you. All right, so let me unmute everybody, and let me see how to do that. All guests can talk. You know, so now I all right, gang, so I've unmuted you. Is this call good for you? Yes?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Very good.
All right,
thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes.
All right, thank you. All right, there's somebody really loud back there, so I just muted you all. So thank you, gang. Look for this recording, by the end of this week. Thank you. God bless you. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and I look forward to talking to you on the next call. Thank you.